before we get started, we want to do a quick shout out to a listener. Happy birthday, Amelia, for tomorrow. Nick's been in touch to let us know it's the big 3-0. We appreciate you being such a big fan of the podcast, and we have no doubt you'll be drinking very well tomorrow. Happy birthday. Hi, and welcome to Wine with Meg and Mel. We're here to help you navigate the world of wine. I'm Mel Gilchrist, joined by Master of Wine, Meg Brotman. Oh, we're doing something fun.
We are doing something fun. A little bit of testing ourselves again, and something that...
Every time we do this, we're like, why? Oh,
no, we'll fail. We'll fail miserably. But, you know, we always talk about regional characteristics, yeah, or GI, geographical indication characteristics, like they're a thing.
Yes.
And we... I don't know that they are. Let's just find out what... As you said to me
before, how much of a difference does it make?
Exactly. And can we see a difference? That's the first question we have to ask ourselves. And then if we do see a difference, what is it specifically to that wine that stands it out as that region, even if we get it wrong?
And we're doing this with Riesling, which is, I think, a really, really good one to do it with, because there's not a whole – so like something like a Chardonnay, there's a lot of winemaking and stuff that goes into it. But in theory, with Riesling, because it's supposed to be quite pure in the fruit and stuff, like, can we taste that terroir?
Well, that's exactly right. And when I was looking at it, I was thinking the same thing. I don't have to worry about – I don't have to read the back label for the winemaking. Yes. I can literally just pick it up and know that – 95% of these are going to be stainless steel fermented.
Yeah.
Maybe some aromatic yeast differences, not a lot of phenolic pickup. They're all kind of going to be the same.
Yeah.
So we are down to the terroir.
Taste the terroir. I love that.
Although, as we know, it doesn't make any difference because you can't taste it.
Someone sent me, I think you taste terroir, just not minerality.
Yes.
Well, someone sent me a video.
We won't go down that rabbit hole again.
Let's not go down that rabbit hole. So someone sent me a video about a som doing a tasting, and it looked so impressive, right? She like sniffs it and she's like, this is French, this is Sauvignon Blanc, this is from Bordeaux, this is 2017, and she moves on to the next one. She does it like just so quickly and seamlessly through the whole thing. But then we didn't get to find out if she was right. And the person said to me, thought it was so impressive. And I was like, but
yeah, I could say that about anything.
She's probably wrong. Like, only the top, like, well, we know 5% of people pass stuff that like Pastor Master of Wine, but even then, there's so much room for error. Like,
but even, I mean, you know, when in the Master of Wine exam, when they do that and they're asking you to go down to year, you're looking at wines that can age. So if she's looking at an average everyday Sauvignon Blanc, why is she drinking 2017 is my question. and it's French. Okay. Where? And France is a pretty big country,
well,
like Australia.
Well, she did say Bordeaux. She narrowed it down. But it's just one of those things that I'm like, I bet if we watched the whole thing, she might have gotten one right and she would have gotten parts right.
Yeah.
But it looks really impressive, but I just, like, do need to point out that it doesn't just work like that. You don't get really good and just be able
it's
to
like
do that.
It's like that Drops of God.
Yeah.
You know, as lovely as that story was.
Great show.
Serious.
If you all haven't started watching it yet, swear to God, get
but
on it.
Truly, that's not, we don't have the white napkin. Well, I don't know. I never
other
did.
Other people might.
Maybe soms do.
Soms, actually, probably be different.
And it's like, oh, I can tell from this bubble. It's like, the colour gives you very little.
Yes.
It gives you some.
Yes.
But very, very little. And as we always say in judging in wine shows and in teaching of WCT, move on from colour.
Yeah.
Just rank it and move on.
And then,
get out of there pretty quickly because you don't want to be stuck in those weeds for too long.
Yeah. Hail's good though. Did you watch the end?
Yes, we did.
We won't do spoilers, but it was great, wasn't it?
It was very, very good.
It was well done. Good show. Okay, so before we get into all this Riesling, what you been drinking, Meg?
So I had from Costco.
Costco. I love what we do Costco ones.
Moreau, I think it was, which could be a fake name. Premier Cru Chablis from 2020.
Premier
Cru.
$32.99. What?
Drinkable.
Did you say 22 or 32?
32. Yeah.
Okay.
It was
drinkable.
So Chablis, obviously being Chardonnay, should be mineral and pristine and no oak. You could tell that this was the there's more pressings in there. It had more of that grip to it. It was a little bit yellowed, which I wouldn't expect, under cork, which does my head in. But really good. We had it with some fish with the burnt butter and capers.
Oh, yeah.
Just simple dish. So they kind of worked well together. And I remember Hugh and Hook last week talking about how if he wanted a oaky, buttery Chardonnay, he'd go for roast chicken. And if he was having raw seafood, he'd go for Chablis.
Yeah.
I'd never really broken it down that far. Do you know what I mean? In terms of buttery, I'd have with a buttery Chardonnay. So, it was a good match.
Okay. So nice. If you had $32 to spend on a Chardonnay again, would you get the Costco Chablis again, or would you spend that $32 on like a Mornington?
No, I'd probably go Australian. But if you want to have an introduction into that fine line of acidity at an affordable price and something that you want to drink now, then you might want to impress your friends too.
Okay, cool. And what's next? Fun fact.
Fun fact. So 10 years after Pasquale Vignetti e Cantine embarked on its innovative multi-vintage white wine project, Hey French, you could have made this, but you didn't. That is the name of the wine. That's kind of why this is my fun fact. Filippo Balotta tastes its third edition and asks if it's time to reassess our devotion to single vintage wines. So they wanted to make a wine outside of the box. They blended it from Verona, Valpolicella, and it's called Hey French, You Could Have Made This But You Didn't, which I thought was very funny. The first wine was vintages 2013, 15, 16 and 17. It had 85% Garganegar, 10% Sauvignon Blanc, 5% Pinot Blanc.
Wait. So they're wines that
are... They're Italian. It's from the Veneto. I'd say Suave.
And so they're hanging shit on single vineyard.
Yeah, just saying to the French, okay, you're all a bit obsessed about this single vintage.
That's so funny.
Here you go. And I wanted to say this one because I know that you have just released a multi-vintage, Domaine Chardon has just released a multi-vintage sparkling wine, premium price, $120 étoile. And I just thought you guys, Champenoises or sparkling, are the only people that can really kind of get away with it.
Yeah.
And I just think it's great.
Oh, I love it. I love the name. Dudes, I wish we used that instead of a title.
I know. I read this ages ago and I couldn't remember the name of the wine. I wanted to bring it up, but I couldn't remember. Yes. I knew it was a finger to the French.
Oh, that's so funny.
You could have made this, but you didn't.
Awesome.
So that is my little fun fact.
Okay, that was really fun. We're getting into Riesling.
We have four Rieslings from, four geographical indications.
Okay.
Across Australia. They are all classic.
How come you're using that word instead of saying
I'm using
four
that
regions?
Because one of them is part of a bigger region.
Mm.
So, and I was thinking, should I do this? Should I didn't do it? It looks a little bit arsey. It's the same producer.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, geographical indication exists for a reason.
Yes.
Because we think the wines are distinct.
Yes.
Are they? Do you want me to tell you the regions?
I do want to know the regions. Right. I would like the shortlist, please.
So we have Clare.
Clare Valley, yes.
We have Watervale.
Watervale.
We have Great Southern.
Great Southern.
And we have Eden.
Eden, that would make sense.
Yes, Eden.
So,
and then there was Tasmania. I was just all in a quandary and I'm standing there and this guy actually came up to me and said, do you want some help? Because I'd literally been standing in front of this Riesling section for 15 minutes. It was a bit embarrassing.
So we've got three South
Australia.
All
around the 25-ish mark.
So three South Australia, one Margaret River.
Yeah, one West Australia.
No, it's not Margaret River, sorry.
Great Southern.
It's
Great Southern.
Next to.
Barker.
Yes.
It's down further south.
So maybe before we go into it, can we talk a bit about people hear South Australia and they probably think it's really hot.
Yes.
And but in theory, Riesling should only grow in the cooler places. So how come there's all these places that are growing Riesling in South Australia?
Firstly, Riesling ripens late. So one of the reasons it does well in Germany is that the long dry autumns that they have affords its extended ripening. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what we have in Australia.
Yeah.
So in Clare and Barossa, Eden Valley, yes, it's hot in February and early March, but that's when the Riesling's ripening a little bit later than that. So it can get through the heat.
Yeah.
One thing that you want to make sure is you don't get it sunburned because you can get some of that phenolic tanniny grip to it. But Claire has hot days but really cool nights because it's continental. Yeah. Eden Valley is at higher elevation, so I think it starts at 450, so it's cooler from there.
And they're like right next to each other, right?
They're not far.
Not far.
One's in Barossa, but the higher part of Barossa, and one's in Clare.
And that's what a lot of people don't realise as well, that Eden Valley is in
Barossa.
Barossa.
I know.
Yeah.
And you would never think of Barossa making.
Never.
Riesling. And then Great Southern is.
Oh, and then Watervale.
So Watervale is a sub-region of Clare. Mm. I think it has a different soil type, but don't quote me. But it's always been. It's always been
like name called.
Yeah.
Yes.
For years and years and years. Like Leo Buring's Watervale, Leo Buring's Eden Valley, you know, from the 70s. So clearly
there's something going on.
There's something going on
in Watervale.
And then with Great Southern, the reason Great Southern is it's southerly latitudes for a start, but it's literally got Antarctica underneath it. So it has a great big air conditioning, the Great Southern Ocean underneath it. So that acts, I don't know as much about the climate down there, but I know it is cooler. And I know around Mount Barker there is a little bit of elevation, obviously, as the name suggests, mountains. Australians do tend to put mount in front of things Mount Dandenong. Like, how tall is that?
It's not very
180
tall.
180 metres, is
it's
that?
Cute, yeah.
It's got a lookout at the top and a revolting restaurant. So we have four revolving.
I wondered whether you meant
we always used to call them revolting restaurants, revolving restaurants, because they're never good food.
No,
you're paying for the view.
It's so bad.
It's I haven't been there for years.
Me and Tom went there on like our first anniversary for like dating though, when we were just been dating a year.
Little young ones. And we were 19 so fancy.
Or like 18 or something. We thought it was so, we dressed up so much and we thought it was so wonderful. And then lately Tom, this was so cute. Last year, before we got married, he said, this will be the last year that we celebrate like our dating anniversary. And so he booked the place that we went on our first year anniversary. So cute. Such a cute idea. But then we went and this place is not how I remember it.
No.
Now that I know anything about wine, I'm looking at the wine list and I'm like, oh.
No, it would have all been Treasury probably.
It was just, and then the food, and I swear to God, there was like vending machines in the restaurant. Like it was like that kind of vibe. It was really funny. But it was still cute to go back there and there's a nice view
really
and everything.
Cute. And the view is amazing, but the restaurant is never very good. So what has happened is my darling husband has decanted these wines.
Thank you, Pete.
Into four unidentifiable bottles. So all I've got is 1, 2, 3, 4. Now we know Riesling.
Yep.
So we've got Clare Valley, which for me should be lime juice.
Yes.
And lime juice cordial.
Yes.
Watervale, I'm guessing the same, but might have some more minerality to it.
Yep.
Eden Valley for me generally is fresher lime juice rather than lime juice cordial and has florals.
Yeah.
And Great Southern, I just think there's a steeliness and there's more that sort of mineral character to Great Southern.
So I will say that I don't know if did you do Riesling Freak the other week, the tasting?
Yes.
Yeah. So
love his wines.
They did, they had a Clare and an Eden side by side. And I noticed in those that the Clare was really, it was like lemon drop. It was just like crazy lemon for me. And then the Eden was a bit more floral and a bit more calm.
And then they had a blend.
Yes, and stuff.
I did but taste them.
So that kind of lines up with what you've said-ish. Like it's more that like piercing acid.
Yeah. And citrus
or piercing
realm.
Citrus for Clare and then a little bit more like mineral and floral for Eden. And then let's just see.
So
this first one, I'm getting, there's definite citrus, but it's not piercing. It's not like fully in your face.
And it's not lime juice. I get a distinct mandarin character.
Oh, my God, true. It's mandarin.
And I don't know whether that's because it's winter.
It's soft, though. It's, like, nice. Yeah. I really like the softness of it.
It's not clear for me. You put your nose in the glass and it's just boof. Mm-hmm. Lime, citrus, mm-hmm. really, mm-hmm. literally like you're zesting or you're pouring some lime juice cordial. This is a little bit more stony.
Yeah, it's
wet
more
stone.
Delicate.
But there's a...
still great acid. It's not linear acid. It's broad. I can feel it back in the back of my mouth.
Yeah, it's not like a straight line of acidity. On the nose, though, do you get any floralness?
Yeah, I do. I get white florals. Mm. What's that? What do we call that? Like a blossom or... Mm.
Bridal florals, a friend of mine used to call them.
Bridal.
And I'm not quite sure what they meant.
You know the little, like the little ones?
Yeah, the gypsophilia stuff.
Yeah, that's
bridal
what it sounds
florals, like.
Like
in Kath and Kim.
Yeah.
Kath and Kim. Like, I think that's what she had, like, a head.
Sorry,
of.
International listeners.
Oh, yes. You can get it on Netflix or something.
So far, my gut is going, this is either Eden or Southern, Great
yep,
Southern.
I'm exactly the same.
And I would probably expect a bit more citrus from Eden.
I'm exactly the same. I think it has that stoniness that I equate to Great Southern, but it has varietal characteristics of a little bit of floral, and that Mandarin character is interesting.
It is.
Bearing in mind, this is very hard when you only have one wine in front of you. I probably should have poured all four because that's how you would normally do it.
True. But no, we're professionals. We got this. All right.
Okay,
are we going to have the reveal now or just go through them all? Go through them all, yeah.
No, well, I can't get the reveal now because Pete's got them all out there. We've got to go through them all. Oh, that's not working. Sorry. So this is what I had last night, the Pecorino.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yum.
And the 21 Chardonnay the other night. Although with this cold I've had, everything's tasting like just acid.
Oh,
so
that's not fun.
I haven't really been enjoying my wine. I did get him a Santa Carolina Carmenere.
Okay, I already think that this is way more.
This is definitely more citrus.
Citrus, yeah.
And lime.
Yep, it's lime. Maybe lime cordial more than juice.
Lime cordial.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, I don't know if you do this when you cut your lime and then you leave it for a couple of days in the fridge. We do this all the time. We save it for our gin and tonics, and then by the time you get to the last piece, it's not quite as fresh as it was.
That's so specific, but yes, I know what you mean.
Yeah, it's lime juice cordial. There's a stoniness to it as well. There's that whetstone character.
Yeah, the whetstone is there. I'm not getting much floral though. So we could be looking at Claire or Watervale.
Yeah. Residual sugar? Just a touch?
A touch, yeah.
I don't know. It's very mouth-filling.
I can't taste much. I don't think I taste much sugar. It's the flavour doesn't really carry. Are you getting that?
Yeah, it's seems a bit more simple.
Mm.
So it's either Claire or Watervale. I would expect, and we haven't got to wine four yet, but I would expect that Watervale would be of higher quality.
Yeah.
Although these all were around the same price. But that probably says more about the market than the quality of the wine.
Can we leave that? I don't want to guess that one yet.
We'll park that one.
We'll park it, yeah.
Okay, so you don't – I think we're in Claire though.
You reckon we're in Claire for the lime juice?
So what have we said? It's Great Southern.
We think. But now I've tasted that one. Oh, okay.
No, there's definitely lime in that.
Yeah, there is lime in there.
Sorry, for a start I have a claret bottle. And I got them out of the fridge because our bar fridge is far too cold. Pete said I better leave them out so they're not too cold for
you. All right.
All right. Oh, she's smelt it already. She's made the call.
I reckon this is Claire. Although I'm not sure how I'd tear. I'm not sure how I would separate Claire and Watervale, to be fair. But I haven't even put it in my mouth yet, but just on the nose. I think there's more lemon than lime.
It feels like Claire.
Yeah.
But it's more, it is more fresh lime juice that goes against everything that I've said. So maybe this is Watervale. Maybe this is Claire
maybe
on steroids.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what that
ultimate
is.
Claire. Because there is minerality to it.
There is. There's definite minerality to it. But that nose, that for me is lemon. And that is what the lemon that I smelled in the...
And on the palate, it's pure lemon. Yep. It's lemon juice.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's what I smelt in the Clara in the Riesling Freak. Ooh. Oh, my God, I'm having so much fun.
Don't know. So tentatively we're calling that as water. No, I think that's water. That is a higher quality wine than the wine previous to it.
It carries more.
It's got that linearity of
Clare. It has linearity.
You know, Clare just boof, straight down your palate.
Yum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, touch of ginger too. Okay, so we haven't picked Eden yet. Okay, I will say for this third one, paler, almost water white. Have a look at it.
Wow, it is. Oh, my God.
It is literally sitting next to our water.
It looks like water.
It almost looks like water.
All right. Eden, don't you reckon?
I don't know. I get a lot of lime.
Yeah, but I get honeysuckle. I get florals.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely more floral. It's more lifted.
It's
more
lifted.
Germanic. You know when you smell German wine Riesling, it just has that almost like someone sprayed a waft of perfume sort of thing. That's what that has.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than someone who has perfume on so bad that you can taste it. Oh. Have you ever had that? You walk it in the... I worked with a woman. She was a winemaker and she used to wear the worst, well, not the worst perfume, but just perfume. And it's just be like a Kenya. Like, I can't smell shit from Shiola with you standing next to me. And her makeup really smelled too.
That's what a weird thing to smell. Oh, I am back in that for Eden.
I know this is going to sound wanky and you hate this term. It's more ethereal.
No, I love that term. I'm not sure I know what it means, but I love it.
Yeah,
it sounds great.
It's in the clouds and it's more, it's just.
Okay, that means nothing.
Mystical. Do you know what I mean? It's like you don't, you taste it and it's got, you don't quite know what's happening, but it's just, yeah, I don't know. Let's look up the definition because that's a really shit definition.
That was terrible.
Okay. I'm not a freaking English teacher.
I'm looking it up because I want to know what ethereal – oh, no.
Ethereal wine imports.
Yeah, that's not what we want. Richly – that's can't be right. Richly alcoholic but poorly extractive light feminine wine.
No, we can't use feminine anymore.
No, we can't.
Taste the ethereal. I think it's – you shouldn't have wine. You should just get what ethereal means. Okay, so let's make – the call. So we believe
we're
that Great Southern is a little bit more stony.
Yep.
That was the sort of general, not having as much experience with Great Southern, but that's my sort of takeaway message. And the interesting thing that stood out for me was that Mandarin character.
Yes.
The second one we put down as Claire.
Yep.
The third, well, because we had, you got a real distinct lemon, I smelt that lime juice cordial. I felt the wine was a little bit simple. The third one we put down as Watervale, again, not having had that experience where we've actually sat down and said, let's chase Watervale by itself.
Yeah.
Again.
But in theory, it should be like a more concentrated
fruit. Yeah, and Claire. That's just a beautifully put together wine.
Yeah, it was.
And then the last wine we've convinced ourselves because it's all we've got left.
Oh, no. This is swear Eden. To God, there's that floral.
Because it's floral.
I reckon we've done it. We're the best.
Do you want to pause while I run down and get them?
Yeah,
I'll be back. Okay, wine number one was the Howard Park, Granite Park, Great Southern Riesling.
That's worth a high five, Meg.
Hang on.
Oh, yeah. That was the most awkward high five that ever happened.
They talk about delicate, lively, zesty aromas and mineral restraint. Definitely has that stoniness, whetstone character. Well done, us.
Yay.
I can't even read what numbers he's done. Wine two was Clare Valley.
Yes.
Straight Jim Barry, Jim's Garden Riesling from the Clare Valley. 2022. Oh, that was the other thing I've neglected to say, that it They were all 2022.
Oh, cool. So no variables.
So, yeah, I couldn't – I wanted to get the Tassie, but that was 2021. Mm, so I bought it for myself.
Nice.
Haven't had it yet. So number two was Jim Barry, Jim's Garden, Riesling, Clear Valley, which I've never seen before.
Yeah.
I've this – the Jim Barry Watervale Riesling was wine number four. So oh, number three so we was got, Edenvale.
Number three was Edenvale. So the wow. Watervale was actually the one that turned out to be – have that honeysuckle to it.
And the Eden so Valley cool. was the one that had it. The most lime to it.
Oh, God.
Unless my husband's got it wrong. Let's just retaste. Sorry,
retaste.
People. This is wine number three, as we now know, Eden Valley Riesling. No, it's definitely limey.
Yeah. But I mean.
And piercing acidity that I just associate with Claire.
You were asking us to differentiate between lime juice and lime.
Juice cordial.
Yeah. So, like, it's the difference is.
Yeah.
Not like it's tough. Always going to be like a massive standout in every wine.
So, I didn't know this producer. This was Fat Cat Eden Valley Riesling. And the lovely chap that Richard Quandling. So, we got two. So, we need to do more waterfowl.
Yeah.
Eden.
That could be the take home message. Do you have a favourite?
Three. Eden. Although four's good.
Is that the one that we just had?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me retaste.
And this is number four, the Jim Barry Watervale Riesling. When you retaste it, it kind of like, yeah. It's,
yeah.
I don't know, the acidity of both is
I
so
like the Watervale. Thanks. I like the Watervale the best.
Yes. Going yeah. back to them now, yeah. I do like the Eden Valley. The Eden Valley feels a little bit fatter. That's the one that I thought had a little bit of residual sugar in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Okay. So.
Take home message.
Yeah. What have we learned?
One, Great Southern, I think, is going to become a great region for yeah. producing Riesling if you want that stoniness. And it's that warmth stone. It's not like how do I say this? It's like that smell or that taste when it's been a hot day.
Yes.
Versus having chalk or
yeah.
flint in your mouth.
Totally.
Do you know what I mean? It's a warmer stoniness.
And I think the differentiation of the citrus being mandarin was a really lovely one too. Like it still had beautiful acidity.
And as a take-home message, this is how you learn to have hooks to hang your hat on.
Yeah.
When you do these wines blind.
Yeah.
You know, I've always said, no, you know, Claire is definitely lime juice cordial, not fresh lime juice.
Yeah.
But with that mandarin character, I will now be on
yeah,
the lookout. And it was like when we did the Margaret Southern. River and I've often said grapefruit.
Yeah.
But I've never sort of said that's my identifier.
Yeah.
So sometimes you just drink wine and you taste wine and you don't really think about it. So do them. I mean, we do have someone that's lined them up for us. So, but you could get the guys in the store. You could have done
these.
You
don't have to do it blind at home though. You can do no, it at learn. Home without doing it blind. Yeah. And just learn. Yeah, yeah.
And like I said, these are all between $22 and $25.
Oh, my God. Riesling's so cheap.
This Watervale I can often get at my local IGA for
$17.99. That's crazy.
I mean, seriously. And it's got some serious bling on it.
Yeah.
All the Jim Barry. I've never seen this bling. One. So, yeah, take-home message.
Also, Watervale. Drink Watervale. I mean, I have never, like, I know of Watervale, but I've never done it lined up like this. And now I'm going to be really enthusiastic about Watervale.
And I've always known that Watervale was a step up.
Yeah.
But I'm now going to actually go and find out why.
Yes.
Which I should have done before we did this.
Yeah.
But also I didn't want to sort of cheat because I knew, because people said to me, it's going to be easy for you. You know what the wines are.
I want to do a follow-up to this with Tasmania, Canberra.
See, they had Canberra there as well. Lark Hill.
Oh, my God. We should have just made it a two-parter.
Oh, we would have been here.
We've got Ngambi. Like, we could go old, though.
Yeah, we could go old. That's the thing about reasoning. Yeah. You don't think that there's much reasoning in Australia, but what we have subcategories. Let's do Watervale. And isn't Pikes, isn't that on a separate Polish Hill? That's another Polish Hill. GI?
Is it its own GI?
So I think it might be. Wow. So we could potentially do Watervale versus Polish Hill versus Clare. Oh,
cool. That's cool.
And then I think Eden doesn't have any sub-GIs. And Tassie we've kind of covered a little bit. But Great Southern is one. I didn't even know that Howard Park had vineyard or buy fruit from down there.
Yeah.
That is a richer style.
Yes.
That is something that I would happily have tonight. I'm thinking of having Caribbean roti, which is lamb, but it cut through it pretty well. But our last drop.
We have a final drop. More Riesling.
I just said to Mel, let's just keep it in the thume.
Oh, yeah, I love
it. So we have Chateau de Bilk Riesling. Thank you for sending it to us. I'm just going to go off and pick it up.
I wonder if they still call themselves Chateau de Bilk because it just says de Bilk.
What's interesting.
This is the same as Domaine Chandon. It's kind of just Chandon now.
Well, I just call it DC and people just look at me like, what? A woman we worked with, Alicia, has a friend whose birthday it is and she wants to buy her a special – it's her 30th.
Yeah.
And she loves my son. And I said, well, just go to Chateau de Bilk, and I did call it Chateau de Bilk, and buy a magnum of my son.
Totally.
And tell her to drink it on her 40th.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, my God, that's such a great idea. And I said, it's not going to kill you. You could possibly buy something else as well.
Yeah.
Go on, buy it direct from them. They'll deliver it within no time because we've got some that you got some special
I've
deal.
I've still got, like, yeah, there was like a really cheap, it was really
$30.
$30.
For a magnum.
For a magnum. That's so freaking good. I've still got, I can't wait to drink it.
I've got mine as well. And Pete always gets pissed off because we keep having to move it around the wine fridge because
Poor Pete. Oh my God, your problems are so hard.
I have got to stop him.
The bottle of wine is just too big.
I do have to stop take because seriously, that man's bringing out shit that's really expensive. And just drinking it. The other night he bought out a 64 euro Priorat and then just said, that wine's shit, it's Bretty. And I went, that's 64 euros, man.
I love the chaotic nature of your husband. That's so funny.
He doesn't care. He truly doesn't care. Like last night, what did we have for dinner?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we had fish, but the night before I did these slow roasted beef ribs, like 5 hours in the oven. And he was like, well, what red are we having? I said, well, I haven't got a red out. You have a look. And then I thought, Jesus,
Don't
touch the fridge. I really have to. That's what I'm going to do after this. I'm going to go through and catalogue because I know that we've got a whole heap of Burgundy from 17 that probably should be drunk because it was supermarket Burgundy.
Oh, yeah. So
we were there in 18 and we brought home a heap.
This is the thing with I'm married to a muggle, so he would never – ever go near wine without asking me if he could drink it first.
We do love him.
We do.
All right, so what we've got is de Bilk Ngambi.
Yeah.
Riesling. Now, I've always really rated Mitchelton Riesling.
Yeah.
It's from that home block where the Mitchelton.
Yeah.
It's got a name, Black. Something. Anyway, not Black Caviar, because isn't that where the
Black Caviar is the horse,
Anyway, it's from the home block. It's really old. I think it was planted in the 70s when they built the fantastic 70s monolith building that they have.
Yeah.
And I've always really, really rated kind of Central Vic Riesling.
Yeah.
So I'm keen to try this.
Yum, yum. Oh, my God. This is almost – but we should point out there's a variable. This is the only one that's not cold.
True.
But
it's 22.
I should say that the nose, I think, has more going for it than any of the others. Like,
I still get that mandarin. I wonder if that's because I have to be taking lots of vitamin C.
Yeah, no. I get that mandarin as well.
Floral,
but it's
mandarin.
Concentrated. Like, there's a lot. It's so heavily perfumed. In a stunning way. It's gorgeous nose.
That is delicious.
It's almost kind of musky as well. It's got that floral as well. Like, this is got a bit going on.
Oh, my God. We need to do Central Vic Riesling, I think, or Victorian Riesling. Because that
I'd do you one letter. Let's just go for a road trip to Nagambi.
Oh my god. I can get more massage. We could do. We could yes.
Yum.
People
yum.
Should vote. Should we be doing road trips?
Yeah, I wonder if that's interesting to people.
I know. To see us on the road in our eating sausage rolls from the side of the road. What matches with those? I bet people would like to know.
I want
to
know.
I want to know. I love a sausage roll. Okay, this wine just reeks to me of Mitchelton Central Vic.
This is Tabilk.
Tabilk, but it's the smell that I expect from that wine from that region.
Yeah.
It's got more mandarin. There's a saffron character. Saffron,
and it's like a lemon drop. I almost get the sweetness of it's not a sweet wine, but I get the sweetness of a lemon lolly, like a lemon.
Did you ever have acid drops as kids?
Yeah, like that. Yeah. Yes, literally like that.
It does. It's like a lemon acid drop because they came in white and red.
Yes.
I'm not sure what flavour the red was supposed to be.
I really, really like this.
You know what? It's like a blend of all the regions. You've got floralness. You've got the mandarin from Howe Park. There's a little bit of citrus from your Clare Valley.
I agree.
It's kind of like the ultimate blend. So there you go. Go to Tabilk. Tabilk. I'd love to. The vineyards are probably really old as well.
Oh my God, they are. All the vineyards are.
It's they probably don't charge anywhere near enough.
None of their wines they do. This is what I always say. If you want to visit a good winery and get really good value, that is Tabilk's your buddy.
And they need help because they got flooded.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I wonder if they had insurance.
I'm interested to know actually how they went. Maybe we should go talk to the winemaker.
My only thing about that is it's a little bit more furry, phenolic-y.
Yeah, I like that. Do you not?
For food.
Yeah. It's more grippy. It's like grippy on my tongue and I'm into that.
Yum.
Yeah. Okay, that was awesome. What a good final job. We are going to finish there, but Meg, what are we doing next week?
Next week we're going to have a look at just two varieties, Fiano and Primitivo/Zinfandel from the world. So we've got a Fiano from Australia, a Fiano from Italy, and a Zin from California and a Primitivo from Italy.
So basically what we're doing is
New versus
Italy,
old.
Yeah, Italy versus New World interpretations.
Yeah. And I think we'll do this as a theme going forward. It was Mel was like, well, you know, very broad, helpful. So I'm standing with Mel's text in Dan Murphy's going, that's helpful. And then I saw the Zin and went, holy crap, because I'll talk about it next week.
Yeah.
There's a story to be told in that. And
then
with the whites, I could have gone kind of anywhere.
Yeah. But I think it's going to be a really good episode. I'm excited.
It'll be fun.
We'll be back with you then. But until then, enjoy your next glass of wine.
And drink well.